I'm sure that Mrs. Willie and the family would want me to thank you for coming with her to take this opportunity to lay away the earthly remains until the Lord comes of a leader and a counselor and a teacher and a brother beloved in the Lord. And our brother Frank Wardenberg, who's long been associated with Mr. Willie, will lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Our God and Father, we come before Thee at this time. We have come here, our Father, to pay our respects to our dear brother, Thy servant, whom it has pleased Thee to take home to Thyself. O God, as we are gathered here today to pay our last respects, as it were, yet, our God, the memory of our dear brother will carry us through as long as memory lingers, as we think, Lord, of his dedication, of his energy, our God, and of his love for God's people. That it please thee, Lord, to take him to be with thyself, Lord, and what can we say? He lived a good life, God, and we thank thee for the years that thou hast given him. But, O Lord, how swiftly the days go by. Grant, our Father, that each one of us here today, as we look upon this form, that we might so number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom, that this might speak to us, our Father, each one of us who are Christians and who are not Christians. Thy word tells us that blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, for they shall rest from their labors. And how diligently our brother labored, our Father, for the time that we knew him, and for the welfare and the advancement, our Father, of the work of the Lord. And we thank thee, our God, for our dear brother Willie. We thank thee for the inspiration, our Father, that has been to many of thy people. We thank thee, Lord, for his trust in thee. We knew him, our Father, as a man whose complete trust was in God for all of his needs. And we thank thee, our God, that each one of us here have been helped on our way to heaven because of our association with our dear brother Willie. Oh God, we pray then for thy blessing upon this service today. We pray, Lord, for our dear sister Vera. We pray for his brother and sister who are here, and for the other members of the family. We pray for this assembly, Lord. Our dear brother will be missed here, our God, and who is to fill these shoes. And yet, Lord, we realize that thou dost bury thy workmen, but the work of the Lord must go on. And grant our Father, as a result of this, that we might apply ourselves more vigorously, our God, to the work of the Lord. And grant our Father the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the comfort of the Scriptures, our Father, upon each one of us here today, and especially the family. We pray, Lord, that the words might be spoken, that will be spoken here today, might be as a balm to our souls, and that we, our Father, might be brought closer to one another and closer to Thee. We realize, Lord, that it's only a short time, and we'll all be joined together when our Savior comes. When Jesus comes, our Father, to take us to be with Himself. And we believe, Lord, that this time is not far distant. But in the meantime, Lord, for those who die in the Lord, how much far better it is, our Father, to be with Christ. His labors are over. We thank thee that he's rejoicing before thee today, not because of all that is accomplished, but because of the person and work of our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we commit us into thy care and into thy keeping, and we pray, Lord, for thy help now upon the service which is to follow. We give thee thanks, Lord, that our brother came to know the Lord early in life, and that he came to trust his Savior all through his earthly days. We give thee thanks now, then, in our Savior's precious name. Amen.
When our brother Snadden concludes his remarks, the internment will be at the little cemetery across the road. And after that, you're all invited to come down to the lounge and share with us in a time of refreshment and visitation. As we look back over 80 years of service for the Lord, we put down a few notes regarding the life of Brother Robert Willie. Robert J. Willie, who went to be with the Lord on Thursday, August the 9th, was born on April the 3rd, 1899, in Bristol, England. He grew up with a great interest in aeronautics. He served in the British Royal Air Force in World War I and worked as an engineer until he was sent to Athens, Greece in 1931. In 1927, he and Vera Druitt were united in a long and happy marriage. He worked as an engineer and finally as plant superintendent of the Greek aeronautical plant until 1941, when he and his wife were hastily evacuated, leaving all of their worldly possessions behind them. In staying ahead of the German invasion, the Greek refugees landed in Alexandria, Egypt, where Bob immediately rejoined the Royal Air Force, and Vera went to work with the Mission to Mediterranean Garrisons. He served as a major in the Air Force until his discharge in 1945. The Willies then left Egypt for Glasgow, Scotland, where Bob was employed for 2 years before being sent as a commended worker to the United States to acquaint brethren here with the work of the Lord in the assemblies in Greece. He had been privileged while in Greece to help greatly in the ministry and the establishment and growth of a number of assemblies. After several years of traveling throughout the assemblies in the States, the Willies settled in Wilmington, Delaware, where Bob worked in the aircraft industry and was instrumental in the start of the Brandywine Chapel. Their next move was to Birmingham, Alabama, where he also helped greatly in the growth of the Mountain Brook Bible Chapel. From there, they moved to Orlando, Florida, where he became one of the founding brethren of Hiawatha Hills Chapel. In 1966, Bob was asked to come to Park of the Palms to direct the Bible conference programs. He immediately brought the brethren together to form the Park of the Palms Church, which today is a thriving assembly serving residents of Park of the Palms and residents of the community and visitors to the Bible conferences. Mr. Willie is survived by his wife of 52 years, Vera, a brother Owen, two sisters, Grace Bond and Ruth Ainley. His brother Tom of Orlando, Florida, went to be with the Lord in 1974. Mr. Willie loved the assemblies, and wherever he went, he gathered people together to study and preach the Word. He also loved to minister the Word to Christians, to preach the gospel. But those who knew him most intimately will also always remember him for his great faith in the Lord. His motto was, "I believe God." How many times have you heard him say that? And his life was filled with one instance after another of answered prayer. Park of the Palms, a now thriving retirement community and conference center, owes its existence today to Bob Willie and his faith in the Lord. And I want to read two other little additions to this obituary. When the Spirit of God described Ezra the scribe, I think he described Bob Willie. Here's the way he put it. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. You could put our brother Willie's name in there. And then the last thing, Brother Bob loved to get up at breakfast time in the morning and read the daily verse on the calendar. And today we should pass along that daily verse as comfort to his family. It was very short. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy. That's a promise. Now we're going to sing a hymn that's been a favorite of the Willie family, and it was sung at Brother Tom's funeral, and it's number 629 in the Red Book. We'll all sing it together prayerfully. And is it so, I shall be like thy son? Is this the grace which he for me has won, Father of glory, thought beyond all thought, in glory to his own blessed likeness brought? O Jesus, Lord, who loved me like to thee, fruit of thy work with thee there to see, thy glory, Lord, while endless ages roll, myself the prize and travel of thy soul. Yet it must be, thy love is not its rest, were thy redeemed not with thee fully blessed. That love that gives not as the world, but shares all it possesses with its loved co-heirs. Nor I alone, thy loved ones, all complete in glory, round thee there with joy shall meet. All like thee, for thy glory, like thee, Lord, object supreme of all, by all adored. Number 629.
Thank you.
Dan Snadden will bring us the word.
Let us pray together. We thank Thee, our Father, that Thou dost enter into every vicissitude in life. And Thou art not a God who is way up there in the blue yonder, but Thou art here with us in our circumstances. And we come to Thee today to ask for Thy blessing and for Thy guidance and for Thy help. We would in particular commit to Thee the mourning family, and especially our dear sister Vera. And we pray, blessed Lord, that despite the sorrow and the loss, that Thou wilt reveal Thyself to her in a special way at this time, and grant that in some measure that the joy of the Lord may fill and flood her soul. And as we bow before Thee, may we hear Thee say, Lord Jesus, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. And we thank Thee for the glorious prospect that is ours. And this dear one who has so recently passed from our midst, we see the tent in which he lived. But we thank Thee that one day there will be a resurrection. And we look forward in blessed anticipation to that glorious day. Be with us now, our Father, as we consider the scriptures. Grant that they will be a blessing to all present and comfort to those who mourn. We ask this in our Savior's precious name. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many resting places. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them and shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said unto me, Behold, I make all things new. Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bore 12 kinds of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no lamp, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, These words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophet sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the words of the prophecy of this book. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work. And he who testified these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. And even so, come, Lord Jesus. In many ways, this is a sad occasion. Our dear sister has lost a husband of some 52 years. many of us have lost a dear friend. And so there is cause for sorrow. And yet it is a unique gathering in that while there is sorrow on the one hand, surely there is rejoicing on the other. I have been to many funerals, perhaps not officiating, but just simply attending. And to look around the faces of the audience has been quite a study, and especially of the family, where there seem to be stark, naked, dread, and fear, and terror. But how different it is for the Christian, because we sorrow not as those who have no hope. The patriarchs in the Old Testament, they had their beliefs, and their beliefs were formulated on blind faith. I was thinking this morning of the patriarch Job, and he lived very early in the world's history. And he asked a few questions in his book. In fact, the structure of the book may revolve around the three questions that he asked. And in his contemplative moments, he sat down and he thought of the fact that God could not be seen. And he says, oh, that I could know him and find him. And of course, his question and his longing was never answered until the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And then, as he still thought of man and his sin, and it caused him great pain within, and he asked another question, and he said, how can a man be justified before God? And that question was answered in the death of our Lord Jesus. And then perhaps he was getting older, with more experience, and becoming more mature, and he began to grapple with death, and immortality. And he asked the profound question, if a man die, shall he live again? And that question remained unanswered until the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it is wonderful to note that even with the scarcity of facts, and with certainly no tangible evidence at all, that Job did believe in the resurrection like many of his contemporaries and the patriarchs. Because he wrote in one of the later chapters of his book, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and at the latter day will stand upon the earth. And that even though when my body is dead and destroyed by worms, yet in my flesh I shall see God. And so, here was a man with many others in the Old Testament, who blindly believed in the fact of death. And of course, death was all around them, as it is with us. And even though men lived to almost 1,000 years of age, they died. And so it was easy to understand the fact of death, but resurrection and eternal life was something that took faith. And they had no resurrection of Jesus Christ to fall back on. And in blind faith, they believed in the resurrection of the body. In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul reminds us of a very salient fact, which I believe in these days we have heard it so often that we hurry over it without studying its contents minutely. Here is the content, brethren and sisters, of a new revelation. It says, Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and he was buried. And he rose again the third day according to the scripture. And I feel that many of us today have lost the impact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We dwell much on the cross, and rightly so. But may I remind you that a dead Christ could save no one. And if Christ lived and died and is not resurrected, then Paul reminds us that we are of all men most miserable. And so Paul in this chapter would seek to assure us of the validity and the certainty of Christ's resurrection. And then he goes on to mention to us some very important facts. He says, for instance, if Christ is not raised, then our preaching is vain, and our faith is vain, and we are yet in our sins, and among men we are the most pitiable, and those who sleep in Jesus have perished. Can you contemplate such a situation? But we praise God this afternoon for the glorious fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because he has been resurrected, this becomes the basis of our faith and of our hope in Christ and also for eternity. And as Paul goes down this chapter, and this is the burden of his heart, and God has given me an exercise to share this with you this afternoon. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. There's just no doubt about this forever, at all. There are those who believe that Christ did not rise from the dead. But praise God for the assurance of the scriptures and for the validity of the scriptures and for the certainty of the scriptures. Paul says that he did die, but that he is raised from the dead and he is the firstfruits of them that slept. And so this glorious thought, beloved, gives us confidence for the future. Absolute confidence for the future. Paul had no fear for the hereafter. I think of the words that he quoted in the 5th chapter of his 2nd letter to the Corinthians. For we know that if our earthly house, that is our body, be dissolved, we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Isn't that reassuring today? That a man of God, a man who had dwelt in the presence of God, who had had personal contact with God, and who was honored above his peers in that generation and in every other generation, can come forth with such a confident statement. And he says, if this body is dissolved, that we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul spoke with authority. I've often wondered why Paul was so confident in the future, in the life after death. Because I don't know about you, but in my quieter moments, I often think, now, is what we have the truth? And you'll pardon me for saying this. If it is not the truth, what have we? Nothing. But if it is the truth, and praise God, it is the truth, we have everything. Everything. And what made Paul so confident in life after death? Well, he tells of an incident in his life that had happened some 14 years previously. And he says that he was caught up into the third heaven, and he describes this place as paradise, and no doubt that that was the place of God's dwelling. And while he was there, he said that he heard untranslatable words, and he saw with his own eyes indescribable glory. You see, he had been there, and he knew it was a fact by his own personal experience, despite the inspiration of the Spirit. And he says, it is a fact that there is a place beyond death. It is beautiful, and it is wonderful. And this led him to write those classic words, "I have not seen nor ear heard, and neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." And then in writing to the Philippian church, he loved the Philippian church. And he said, you know, I'm on the horns of a dilemma. He says, I want to stay with you because you need me, and I need to build you up in your most holy faith. But you know what my desire is? My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, because it's far better. And how we thank God for the assurance that this beloved servant of God can give us. It is far better. We're looking for the rapture. And like the Thessalonians, perhaps we say, now what about those who die prior to the rapture? But one thing is certain from the word, that those who die in the Lord or who sleep in Jesus are well taken care of when they go. I think of the story of Lazarus, the poor man. Lazarus died. He evidently was a man of faith, a man of God. And it says that the angels carried Lazarus into Abraham's bosom. What a beautiful thing this is, that this man that was unknown and was despised, the scum of the earth so far as many people were concerned, he died alone. And the angels carry his soul into Abram's bosom. And we have a glimpse of him in perfect peace and quietness and at rest. Our dear brother Willie, he died alone. And yet, should we say that he died alone? I think not. I believe that whenever it is the time for a child of God to be called home, that he is surrounded by the angels of God, and in the midst, there is our blessed Savior. Let me share with you something that happened some 2 years ago when my Lily's mother died in Scotland. And I was going to say my mother-in-law, but I never referred to her as my mother-in-law. I loved her as a mother. She was at home, surrounded by her family, and the end was approaching. It was in the middle of the night, and I believe that there were 5 people in the room. Everything was deathly quiet, just for the labored breathing of the dear one on the bed. Yet she'd never opened her eyes. She'd never said a word for about 2 days. And suddenly there was a rustle in the hallway, even to the extent that one of those in the room went into the hallway to see if someone had come in the door. And Agnes, the daughter, said, "Look at Mom." and she had opened her eyes that had been closed for 2 days or more. There was a light of expectation. A smile broke out into her face, and she lifted her one hand like this, and it fell back, and she was gone. Now that's not fiction, that is fact. There was a rustling, and perhaps if we can use just a little bit of sanctified imagination this afternoon, the rustling of the angel's wings as they came to take that dear one home, home to be with the Lord. We should be encouraged to think that there is life after death, and that God has taken care, well taken care, of those who pass on. The Mount of Transfiguration is another example. The disciples there saw the Lord, they saw Moses, and they saw Elijah. And these two men represent two classes of people. Moses died, and Moses on that mount would represent those who have died in the Lord. But they were with the Lord in the kingdom. Elijah never died. He was raptured home, and praise God, when the rapture takes place, that we will go to be forever with the Lord, and together we will rejoice in his presence. This dear one has left us and gone home. His earthly body remains with us for a few more minutes. But may I remind you, and this is the point of what I'm trying to say, may I remind you that there is a day coming, and I believe it is not too far in the future, when the Lord will return. I believe that there are many of us in this audience tonight who will be alive when the Lord comes back. But those who have gone will not miss out in any of the blessings, because Paul has told us that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's a great day coming. A day of life, a day of resurrection, a day of rejoicing. Then we shall go on to meet the Lord in the air. And Paul seems to work up to a crescendo, and he speaks his doxology as he considers all these things in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And he breaks out into a paean of praise, and so should we today. But thanks be unto God for his. Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, sisters, we're on the victory side. Dear sister Vera will see him again. He shall rise because Christ has risen. I want to say something about Brother Bob. My remarks will be brief. We have known each other for some 16 years now, and I believe that as the years passed one after the other, that as I said on Sunday, that our hearts were knit in a common bond, just like a David-Jonathan relationship. And we loved each other. It's not telling tales out of school if I say that we have cried with each other. We've prayed with each other. We've rejoiced with each other. And my considered opinion And my testimony of this dear brother can only be fully expressed by using the words of another. Brother Bob was a man like Joseph. He was a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches ran over the wall. His bow abode in strength, and his hands were made strong by the hands of the Almighty God. Brother Bob was also a man of vision and a man of faith. And I will not dwell too long on this, but due largely to his untiring efforts, Park of the Palm Church is the flourishing church that it is today. And even in the darkest days of the park, and some of you know what I refer to, he had confidence in God that he would see it through. And praise God for the memory of such a faithful man. For many years now, his spiritual leadership and godly character has been the hallmark of the spiritual oasis. We've just heard in the obituary that he enjoyed a fair amount of success in the business world. But Brother Bob will be rather remembered for his spiritual stature, for his godly life, and for his faithfulness to the Word of God. And in some ways he was a spiritual giant as he moved amongst the assemblies of God's people and taught them the unsearchable riches of Christ. But, to me, perhaps the greatest asset that our brother Bob had was his ability to worship. His ability to worship. He was at his best at the remembrance feast of the Lord's table, which he loved, in quiet dignity. He could lead the congregation through the veil and into the glory of God's presence in adoring worship. And beloved, he will be sorely missed in this capacity. To the very end, our brother fought a good fight. He finished his course. He kept the faith. And today, he wears that crown of righteousness. And my beloved, brethren and sisters today, a prince has fallen in Israel. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. They rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. To you, dear Sister Vera, much of what our brother Bob was, we all believe that you made. You have been a helpmeet to him in every sense of the word for 52 years. You have supported him. You have encouraged him. You have borne him along during those dark as the archers shot their arrows at him. But now that is all over. He's gone. We extend to you particularly our sincere sympathy and condolences, and to the rest of the immediate family. You will miss your loved one sorely. His seat will be empty. Never again will you hear that familiar voice. Never again will you see that familiar form. But always remember that the Lord has promised to be a judge to the widow. And when you pass through the waters, the Lord said, I will be with you. And as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, fear not, for I am with you. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In a few moments, we're going to leave the church and go to the cemetery. And we're going to deposit this body in the grave. But we're going there as the farmer that sows his seed, looking for the harvest. And beloved, we're going there to sow this seed in the sure and certain hope of resurrection. And so we praise God for the memory of such a one. And you know, if Bob was here, I can hear him say to Brother Majonier and to me, just cool a little now. Talk more of the Lord than you do of me. But beloved, a spiritual giant has gone. Long will the imprints and the impress that he has made on this community and in other communities in our beloved land last. He's gone, but his works will follow. And so we revel in the memory of such a one. We're glad for the example that he has shown us. And may we follow him even as he has followed Christ. Let us pray. We thank thee for the encouragement and the assurance that we have from thy word concerning the life hereafter. Lord, there's no doubt in the word. Thou hast put it down there. We're so dull, but Lord, help us to believe and help us to say like our brother Willie has said so many times, I believe God. And may we go forth in the assurance of a certain resurrection. And go forth in the assurance of life everlasting. And oh, to be in thy presence forever and ever. To bask in the sunshine of thy love. And Lord Jesus, to worship thee as we are. We praise thy name together. And ask now thy blessing upon this dear family, and especially Vera, in the next few minutes. We ask it in our Savior's precious name.